Amen. Take your Bible, look in Philippians. Lord willing, I won't be that long. Every time I say that. Philippians. Amen. How many of y'all glad you're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
I said, how many of y'all glad you're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
January the 26th, I want everybody to dress up as cowboys when they come to church. Not the Dallas Cowboys, all right? We don't want no Dallas Cowboy fans in here. None of them. We don't want no Dallas fans. Yeah, there'll be history, like Brother Squeaky said, after this week. But anyway, we don't want no Dallas Cowboy fans in here. We want cowboys. If you got a jeans and a cowboy shirt, you ladies got some cowboy skirts, lady skirts, that is, whatever, cowgirl skirt. We got an Indian coming, full-blooded Indian evangelist, Navajo Indian, and he's a big old boy. And he's going to be coming preaching on a Sunday. We're going to try him out on you guys, see how y'all like him. And he's probably in his, 30s? Somewhere in there, maybe 30s or 40s. Grew up on a reservation. And his mom and his daddy, I preached with his daddy. And he said on the reservation, he pastors, he started all these churches on the reservation. And one of the saddest things, being on the reservation, the Indians, is, they're drinking and drugging just like everywhere else, but he said it's sad because, and they're trying to reach their own people, the Navajos. And he said, I preached with him down in Pensacola, and me and my wife went into Denny's one night. We went to the hospital to see Dr. Rubman, and we came out, went to Denny's, and it was like 10:30, something like that, 11 o'clock, and there was his wife and him was sitting in the corner. So we went back and sat with him and talked, and we laughed and talked about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, his dad. And his mama said that this boy, her son, daddy was a wrangler, I guess, a horse breaker, breaks horses and stuff. And daddy was training that boy to be a cowboy, Indian cowboy. And he was training him. And his mama was saved, and she living for God. And so she went out and snatched him off the horse. She said, he ain't going to be no cowboy. He's going to be a preacher. And he's a preacher, but he rides horses and stuff. His family still lives on the reservation. And, but he'll be with us on the 26th of January. And I know you get a blessing. And full-blooded Navajo. So y'all wear your cowboy outfits. If you got some, like Brother Mike was saying in Sunday school, you got some friends that say, they say, oh, I'm 3% Indian. Bring them to church. Amen. And he'll make fun of them. But anyway, bring them to church, get them in church, and so they'll come, all right? Take your Bible, look at Philippians chapter 2. He said, verse 1, it says, if there be any, therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, of any fellowship of the Spirit, of any bowels and mercies, he said, fulfill ye my joy, be ye like-minded, like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man on the things of others. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. We're talking about humbling this morning. And he says, he became obedient. We talked about being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ didn't have to go to the cross. He went to the cross because he loved you.
Amen.
He died for mankind. And he went to the cross because there's the only way possible mankind could be saved is through Jesus Christ. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, I don't care who they are. I don't care who you know. I don't care who your friends are. They're going to bow down to Jesus Christ. Everybody's going to bow down to him. Why? It says that every knee should bow, and every tongue shall confess. Everybody's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, if you're saved, I mean, there's no problem. I have no problem bowing my knee to Jesus Christ even now. But there's people that have a problem with that. And I don't know, maybe you're sitting here this morning, maybe you have a problem with it. I hope you don't. I hope you have no problem with bowing your knee to Jesus Christ. He's the only one to love you enough to die for you. And he's the only one to care enough about you and gave his life for you so you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. And Jesus Christ paid our sin debt on the cross and suffered the pains of hell. And man, the Bible says that he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was a sinless Lamb of God that paid your sin debt. Thank God for that. I'll tell you what, I love him because of what he did for me. I love him. And I'm not ashamed of him. And when we was out in California, I told you there was a guy on the street. I walked up and tried to talk to him. And I said, hey, man, where are you from? And he said, what does that matter? Why do you care? And homeless. They said the homeless was so bad. You know, California's increased to 30% homeless on the street. And a lot of it's because of drug addiction and stuff like that. Some of it, maybe 10% of it is real legit. People that had financial problems and so on. But this guy, he was cursed, had a vulgar sign, and then he took the track and ripped it up. Didn't want to hear nothing about Jesus Christ. There's people that use God's name in vain all the time. They'll say that, you know, Jesus Christ this and Jesus Christ that, or God blank this and God blank that. But the Bible says one day they'll bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the Bible says this. It says, wherefore, my beloved, be as always obedient. My beloved, as you have been always obedient, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For if God, which worketh in you, both the will and the do of his good pleasure, do all things without murmuring and disputing. That'd be a good thing for 2020. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Children, wouldn't you like your children not to dispute and complain about everything? I'll tell you what, maybe mom and dad, if you quit, they would. Amen. Murmuring, complaining, and disputing. That you may be blameless, harmless sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life that may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also ye do my joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus that I send Timothy shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your estate. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your sake. For all seek their own and not the things of Jesus Christ. All seek their own and not the things of Jesus Christ. Now take your Bible, look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3 and look down to verse 7. And what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. So back over in chapter 2, he says, all men seek their own. But Paul said, everything I've gained, I count loss. He said, for Jesus Christ. I mean, man, he said, I'm willing to give it all, and I count it as dung, he says on down there. He said, I count it as, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the ecstasy of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered all the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He said, all these things, this world that everybody fights for and seeks after and goes for, and man, they value so highly. And I mean, I thank God we have nice things. The Lord gives us nice vehicles, gives us a nice house to live in, gives us things to have. And he gives all things to his children. I mean, and even to the lost, he gives nice things too. But Paul said, all that stuff I count but dung, that I might be able to serve him, that I might be able to be pleasing in his sight. I'll tell you what, that ought to be our attitude. And say, man, I don't care about the things of this world. Thank God for them. Thank God for the nice car. Thank God for all these nice things God's given us. But thank him for it and give him the gratitude that's due him, that he's given all these things to you. You ought to be thanking him and praising him for it. And you ought to come to church on Sunday morning with a grateful heart. Amen. You ought to be in church when you sing praises to him. It ought to be really from the heart. And I'll tell you what, it comes down into your life. It ought to be worship down inside of you, worshiping God for who he is and what he's done for you and where he brought you from. I tell you what, I thank God every day what he's done for me and what he's and where he's brought me from. I know where I deserve. I deserve to be in hell. My back broke, my eye scratched out. I know I belong there. That's just not a cliche that I'm saying. I know that. I know his mercy. I've had 5 guns put to my head. I know men that 5 times could have been pulled the trigger. And I'll tell you what, I thank God for his mercy on me. I thank God for having his grace upon me and looking down for the future. God's seen that he could use me, amen? And he can use you no matter what you've been through, no matter where you've been. You say, well, I've never lived a rough life like that. My sons and my children never been out there like that. But I'll tell you what, God's used them and he'll use you. Now, I've been preaching with the young men. I've preached to some young men that never drank, never smoked, never chewed, none of that. And God's using those guys. And I'll tell you what a blessing. When we was out in California, there was a young man got up to preach. His name was Stevenson. And his daddy died while he was in Bible school. And that boy got up and he was preaching. And he said, and he looked over at Samson. He said, Samson. And he started crying. He said, I wish I could go and preach with my dad like you are going to preach with your dad. And then, boy, we all got weeping and crying. I know his daddy's in heaven. I know his daddy's with the Lord. But I'll tell you what, that boy never drank, never smoked. And he's pastoring a church out in California. And he's just thankful for what God did for him. Even though the Lord took his daddy home, he said, man, I'm thankful for what God's brought me from and where he's taken me. His son was sitting there weeping and crying. His son says he's called to preach. What a blessing, man. What a blessing that is. Boy, I tell you what, Paul said, I count all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And then look what he says, being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. I mean, you can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the only thing that's going to get you into heaven, having the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When you trust him as your Savior and you ask him to forgive you and come into your heart, he gives you his righteousness. He takes your sin and then and takes it to himself. And the Bible says, and then he gives you his righteousness. That's the only way you can get in, man. You have to ask him to forgive you and save you. Look on down what it says. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul said, man, all I want to do is know God. I want to know him. I tell you what, I remember being lost out in the world. I remember going outside. I said, God, you blankety blank, if you're up there, I want to know. I want to know. I'm going to tell you, as anybody that wants to know God can know God if you want to. You can know God. You can find out God. And you can fellowship with God. What a thing, man, that God would fellowship with man. I mean, you know, God made man so he could fellowship with man. He made Adam and Eve, and the Bible says he walked with man in the cool of the day. He walked in fellowship with him. What has God made man for? He made you for fellowship. He wanted to fellowship with you. He wanted to be in your life. He wanted to be a part of your life. He wants to know what you're going through. He wants to know, man, and be there for you. And like he said, when everybody else, that song sang, when everybody else walks out, that's when he walks in. He does walk in your life. If you're looking for him, he'll come to you and he'll abide with you and fellowship with you if you'll let him in. I mean, if you want to know God, you can know God. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. May I tell you what a thing to be able to know God. I mean, man, once you desire to know him, man, the things this world looks, looks dim when it comes to this world. And they say when a man becomes 60 years old or starts hitting them years of 60, things in this life don't impress him anymore. And I found that to be true in my life. Yeah. I found once I hit 60, man, the things this life don't impress me much. I mean, nothing really gets me excited about, having these things. People get all worked up and wanting this and wanting that. But man, as I got to, and plus walking with the Lord, I get to a place where I know I got a mansion waiting on me, amen. Man, I got a place that's paid for, hallelujah. I ain't going to go in debt to get it, hallelujah. And I was out there in California, a preacher I was with, and he told me, he said, 50 families moved out of California, moving from his church. And he said he went over to Arizona where these people are moving. They're moving to Texas, they're moving to Arizona. And he said he went in this man's house, he walked around and go, wow, look at this house. He said, how in the world can they afford it? And he found out they paid $580,000 for his house. And he said, man, that's nice. I can't believe they can afford that thing. He said he got back home. He found out. He said the man and his wife sold their property to the Chinese, the next county over. They allow them people can build a house up to 10,000 square feet with no restriction. And he said, man, he said they built a house. These Chinese bought the property, built and tore that old house down and built a house of 10,000 square foot. And he said he couldn't believe it. He said, how much did they get for it? So he started Googling the thing. Found out the Chinese paid them $2.2 million for their house. And they tore it down to build something new. And he said, he's sitting around his office going, man, I hope they don't call nobody else and tell them about their house and property over here. He said, man, then I started thinking, he said, them people never even tithe. My Lord, they never, if they would have tithed to the church, my, we would have helped us. But they, he said, they never even tithe. He said, them dirty dogs, I don't even like them anymore. And what a thing, man. He said, I don't even like them. But I'll tell you what, man. I mean, Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Those things in life, thank God for nice things, but after you walk around, look at them for a while, and you have it for a while, then all of a sudden it kind of wears out. It's like having a new car, the smell goes away. So the first time the dog or the kids get in there, the smell goes away. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I mean, man, if it, by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, man, I just want to know God. You know what? The Bible tells us that Paul never got married. Peter was married. The Catholic Church teaches Peter was married. Or they don't teach that Peter was married. I'm sorry. I had it backwards. The Catholic Church teaches that Peter was never married. But the Bible teaches that he was married. It tells us that he was married. You know, Paul never got married. Far as we know, Paul never owned his own property. Far as we know. Far as we know, Paul never had his own horse. I don't know. Maybe somebody gave him one. Far as we know, Paul said, all I want to do is know God. I mean, he had a desire to know God. He wrote 13 books in the New Testament. If it wasn't for the Apostle Paul, we wouldn't have the 13 books in the New Testament. What a thing. Philippians is a great book. Man, Paul is called the prison epistle. Paul's writing to Philippi. And he's writing from prison. And he said, and Paul's writing, you know, rejoice evermore. He's in prison. Yeah. I mean, man, you find in your Bible that they were put in jail in Acts 16 and they're singing. They were lifted up. It reminded me of a joke where two guys got arrested. And that back in the day, back in Rome, and they were hanging. They had them suspended and they had them chained. And man, they were like 3 feet off the ground, and the closest window was like 30 feet high in an old castle. And the guy was hanging there, and he looked at the other guy. He goes, here's my plan. You'll get it in a minute. Here's my plan. Here he is. I mean, he can't even move. And he said, here's my plan. Paul had a plan. Paul had a plan. And Paul fulfilled his plan. He wrote letters to the churches. He went around, established churches. He preached to churches. And seeing people saved. And you know what? That Pauline epistles, they're still going on. People are still getting saved by the hundreds and by the thousands. People are still getting saved. What Paul was a single man, never had much. But you say, what do you think he's going to have in heaven? Man, he's going to have a mansion. Brother, I'll tell you what, he's pleasing to God. I heard about a bus driver and a preacher. Bus driver might have been somebody like Alex. Bus driver, he went to heaven. And a preacher was standing right behind in line, getting him ready. And Peter, he says, what were you? He said, you were a bus driver, right? He said, yes, sir. He said, man, I'll tell you what, you got that mansion up there on the hilltop. And the bus driver goes, wow, thank you, man. So the minister started thinking, the preacher, he thought, man, I'm going to get me look at that place. I'm going to get something nicer when I get to heaven. And he said, and the St. Peter said to him, no, man, you got this place over here in the backside over here, little shack back over here. He said, man, how come? Wait a minute, something's wrong here. Something wrong here. I was a minister of the gospel all these years. And that bus driver, why does he get that mansion? He said, when you preached, he said, people went to sleep and people didn't listen. He said, but when that bus driver drove, people prayed all the time. I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to go to sleep on me. You ain't going to sleep on me. All right. I'm going to make sure I get that mansion. Amen. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul was the greatest Christian ever lived. And I believe that. I mean, he probably was the prince of preachers. You know, the Bible says he preached in the book of Acts. He preached to midnight. And a guy fell out the window. The guy's name was Eutychus. And he fell out the window. And I heard a preacher say this. He said, you would have cussed too if you fell out the window too. His name was Eutychus. But he said, you would have cussed too. But Paul preached on to the morning, to the next morning. And he says, by any means I may attain on the resurrection of the dead. Though not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that by may apprehend. that for which also I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, man, I want to apprehend. I want to serve God with all my being. You said, man, preacher. He said, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher to serve God. You don't have to be a preacher. All you got to do is be a willing vessel, a willing person that wants to know God. And you could be at job site working on jobs. I've gone on job sites working with men that were saved and they've just witnessed for Jesus Christ and they just wanted to please him. You can be a husband or a wife or a child that loves God and wants to know God. Man, wouldn't it be a blessing that all the kids of this church, we would find them or parents would stand up and testify that my child, I caught my child in the room the other night reading her Bible or reading his Bible, praying. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Man, every kid in the church, every child was reading their Bible, wanting to know God at a young age. Is it hot in here, guys? Let me turn the AC on. Well, I tell you what, I'll leave one on heat and one on AC and let them fight it out. Amen. All right. Wouldn't that be a blessing if your children want to know God? You know what I found? I found people don't seek God. Like, you find David in the Bible, David in 1 Samuel chapter 22. The Bible says David was running from Saul, running for his life. And the people that went to him were those that were in distress, those that were in debt, and those that were discontented. You know, that's almost a qualification. That is a qualification for you to come to Jesus Christ. In distress, in debt, or discontented. Discontented with this world. I mean, indebted to everybody. Man, that's one of the qualifications to come to Jesus Christ. And I found people will not do that. And they will not seek God until something tragic happens in their life or somebody or something that is removed out of their life. I just got a call from my man the other day. He said, my grandson, he's crying on the phone. I couldn't understand him. And he said, my grandson tried to commit suicide over the holiday weekend, over Christmas. And I went to his house. We sat and cried together. He's 18 years old. Mama has boyfriend after boyfriend after boyfriend, and boyfriend was beating her up. He tried to get involved, and guy beat him up and all that, and he went in, and he said, Mama, why don't you stop? Mama, why don't you stop having these guys? And he went and took some pills and just tried to do away with himself. Didn't have no reason to live. I want to talk to him. He's going to be coming. Tuesday, I'll be able to talk to him. Y'all pray. I can talk to him, lead him to Jesus Christ. I'll give him, show him where there is something worth living for. Amen. There is something worth. You know, usually so something happens in your life. Wouldn't it be a blessing that everybody would seek God without trouble?
Yeah.
Just seek the Lord.
Yep.
And man, say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I just want to love you. I want to serve you without any trouble coming in my life. But that's the way it is. My life, when I got saved, my brother was killed 2 years prior. And I was running from the police. And the man, I said to God, if you're up there, I want to know. And God heard my prayer. Even though I was a lost man, God heard my prayer. He hears your prayers. He knows what you're going through. Paul said, I may know him and the power. There is power. There's power in your life that when you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, there's power in your life. I better turn this other one on AC too. There's power in your life to trust him. He gives you power to overcome sin. He gives you power to overcome things in your life that's hindrance to you. Now look on down. Look, that's not where I'm getting to. He says, not as though I have already apprehended, neither were already perfect. Paul said, I'm not perfect. He said, but I follow after that. You know, whenever people are doing wrong, Christians, they always say, well, I'm not perfect. And they make an excuse why they don't want to try. If you do that, you're a sorry dog. Well, I'm not perfect. Well, man, why don't you strive for it? Why don't you strive for it? So, Lord, I'm going to be a good daddy. I pray that all the time. I still want to be a good father. My daughters and my sons are grown up. I still want to be a good dad. Why? Because the responsibility is still there. My grandkids, I want to be a good grandfather. The responsibility is still there. He said, I'm not perfect. Well, strive for it, man. He says, this one thing, verse 13, I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I mean, man, he said, this one thing I've apprehended, but this one thing I do. He says, forgetting those things which are, forgetting the failures. I mean, man, we got coming up to a new year. We got a new year starting. You say, well, I know this, whenever something goes on in your life, people like to bring up your past. They like to throw your past in your face. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, Paul said, forget those things which are behind. If God's saved you, he's forgave you the past. The world might not forgive you. They might hold it to you. They might throw it in your face. But Paul's saying, forget those things which are past. Now, if there's some things that you can repair, you ought to repair. I mean, some of y'all maybe been married before. I mean, been through divorce, been through a bad divorce and all that stuff, and kids and stuff like that. I tell you what, you ought to try to repair some things with your family. You ought to try to do things. So I don't care about them. I tell you, you ought to care. Why? They're another soul. That's a soul. You ought to try to repair a thing. Right after I got saved, my family turned against me. It's just something about it, man. Jesus said, you know, if a man's not willing to forsake father, mother, sister, brother, and so on, I mean, he's not worthy to be my disciple. But what happens is you keep living for God, God bring your family around. He'll bring them around. Guarantee it. He'll bring them around. And if he says, one thing I count, he said, brethren, I count all not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I mean, man, there's a lot of stuff from the past I've got to forget. Why? If not, it'll defeat me. I find myself sometimes thinking about some things that I did in the past, and I'll be in the shower or something, and I'll be going, oh, God, have mercy on that person. God, forgive me for that. I said, I know you forgave me before. I know that, but I just want to tell you how I'm sorry for it, Lord. I ask God to forgive me. I mean, thinking about those things. Paul said, forget those things which are behind, reaching forth on those things which are before. And then he says this, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even on this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. You ought to be an example to your family. But he says in verse 14, I press towards the mark of the prize. Why? You know, the Bible talks about walking with God and the fellowship with the Lord. And Paul's saying that I may know him. There is a prize. There is a prize. Take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians 9. Look in 1 Corinthians 9. The Bible talks about rewards that the Lord's going to reward his children for just taking the heat and trying to do right. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, verse 23, for this I do for the gospel's sake. And talking about, look what he backs up. Let's back up to verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul's saying, man, I'm free from all men, but I've made myself a servant to them. Why? So I can gain the more, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Your life is bought with a price. How many in this room can say, preacher, I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven when I die? You're bought with a price. You're not your own. You're not supposed to be living your life just for you. You're supposed to be living your life for others. Your family, your children, your grandchildren, and other people that you can be a witness to. That's what Paul was saying here. He said, I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they that run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Look at this. He said, talking about the prize. He said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. There's a prize. He said, well, you're serving God for the prize? No, I'm serving God because of what he did for me, how much he loved me. But you know what the Lord does? He rewards you here, and then he rewards you there. What a great God we serve. God, people got this picture. I remember we went to the Catholic Church over in Washington, D.C., and they have a picture of Jesus up there, and it almost looks like he's mad at everybody. But with his children, he loves you. And he cares. And he says, I want you to give yourself to me. I'll make something out of your life. I'll multiply your life. Just like the Lord took the fishes and the loaves, he multiplied them. And God will multiply your life. 2020, man, wouldn't it be great to see if somebody, because of your testimony, because of your witness, because of what you've done, somebody gets saved. You didn't save them, but somebody gets saved because they heard the words that you spoke to them. They seen your life as an example. They seen what you did and how you take pressure, how you take persecution, how you take those, and they watched you. Wouldn't that be something to see somebody get saved this year? How many of y'all praying for somebody, you have a personal part and somebody getting saved this year? Would you slip up your hand? Boy, I tell you what, every year I pray for 20 people to get saved that I personally could lead to Jesus Christ. I'm praying for 20. I want to see 20. I want to multiply myself and seeing people saved. Not only that, we need to disciple them. But look what he says. He said the prize of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 24. He said that know ye not that they which run in the race run all. You're in the human race, man. You're in a race. And the race is not against me or against somebody else. It's against yourself. You're in a race, and what only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Only what you do for him will go to heaven with you. Anything you do for yourself ain't going to go there. But if you do something for him, boy, what a prize.
Amen.
What a prize. There's five crowns in the Bible for a Christian. Five. To be able to give back to him and honor him. He says, know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run. Here's Paul telling you. So run. Run your race. Run your race for God that ye may obtain. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, I don't want nobody that I've written to, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I mean Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, so on. I don't want nobody, 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 1 and 2 Timothy. I don't want nobody that's reading my words, the epistles, not go to heaven having some rewards.
Amen.
Every preacher that's worth the salt that God made him, every preacher that's preaching the word of God ought to want everybody in his congregation to live for God and have rewards. I want everybody, I pray for you all. I pray for everybody. I go down the aisles praying for people. And I walk them down these aisles and the church, and Brother Mike's doing the same thing. We walk in the aisle and go in and out of pews, and people sitting there. And we say, God, help them to be fruitful. Bless them, Lord. Bless their family. Help them see somebody get saved. We pray that. Why? I don't want to see nobody go to heaven without some rewards. Why? Jesus Christ is going to walk up to you and say, did you love me? He's the only one to love you enough to die for you. Did you love me? How come you didn't? You just live for yourself. Paul's saying, everybody run the race. But only one received a prize. Look what else he says, that you may obtain. Every man that strive for the mastery is temperate in all things. He says somebody's just preparing themselves for soccer, for football, for basketball, for whatever sport it is. Boxing. I like watch boxing. I don't know, something about two guys getting in the ring, beating each other up. And I like watching that. But he said, every man that strive for the mastery, he says temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. You're in a race, you're in an arena, and man, you're fighting against yourself. Unless you lay down your life and say, Lord, my life is yours. You paid for it. I give it back to you. Multiply it, use it. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertain. I'm running this race, and I have a destination I'm trying to get to. I have a finishing point I want to finish. I want to finish my race on top. I want to finish my race. I therefore so run, not as uncertain. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Some people just shadow box all their life. They never really get in the ring. Shadow box. He says, but I keep my under my body, and bringing this objection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What he's saying, man, I bring my body subjection. So when I preach to people and tell them what the Bible says and what they ought to be doing for the Lord and what we ought to be doing, he said, nobody can say, hey, you ain't doing it. You're not living for God. We seen you down there doing this, and we seen you doing that. We seen you out there drinking. We seen you out there smoking. We seen you out there drugging. So run the race. The Bible tells us run the race that's set before you. Finish the race. People start out, I've seen a lot of people get saved, start out, man, they start out on fire. You can't find, the FBI can't even find them now. We've seen people in this church, I don't know, hundreds. We've seen hundreds in this church get saved, start out right, get on fire for God, and about 5 years down the road, don't know where they're at. Yeah, I run into them somewhere. They're hiding from us. Why? They're ashamed. You don't want to stand before God. I'm nobody. I see people in Walmart. They're kind of ashamed. Hey, preacher, how you doing? I'm going to get back in church, preacher. I'm going to get back and read my Bible, preacher. I'm going to get back. I said, do it. Don't talk about it. Do it. You can talk a good game. There's an old boy we was out in California with. He took us out to eat in Malibu. Took us to the restaurant where all these movie stars go. That didn't impress. I'd care less about that. You just said, what'd you eat? I ate French fries, and they weren't that good. That's all I ate. I didn't want him to spend all that money for all that. Tell you, folks, only one life will soon be passed. 2020, forgetting those things for 2019, forget that past. Let's get 2020 in sight. Let's start out right. Determined, I'm not going to miss church. I'm going to be in church every time the doors open. I'm going to be at revivals. I'm going to be reading my Bible every morning. I'll get up. I'm going to make a time where I'm going to read my Bible every day. You say, well, I don't like reading. I didn't either. But if you don't read, you don't grow. You can get apps. My son, Samson, has a hard time reading. He has dyslexia. I can't even say it. Dyslexia. There it is. And he has that, and he told me, he said, Daddy, I got an app that reads the Bible to me, reads books to it. You can do something. Get in that book. That's the only thing that's going to help you grow. That's the Word of God. Faith cometh by what? Hearing by the Word of God. If you're going to make it in 2020, a lot of people start out in January, well, I'm going to get in church, I'm going to do this, and then by February, you say, where are they at? They done fallen out. I mean, Paul said, therefore so run I, not as uncertain, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I mean, man, have a finishing point. Lord helping me, I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish my race with joy. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You say, preacher, am I called to God? Everybody in this room that's saved, you're called of God. I don't care who you are. You're just visiting with our church, you're still called of God. If you're his child, you're called of God. But are you within calling distance? Can you hear him? Can you hear his voice? When he says, I want you to do this, I want you to talk to that person over there. How many of y'all have had that happen to you? Raise your hand. God will say, go talk to them over there. I mean, there's times where I've looked around and the Lord said, I want you to go talk to them. I go, oh, Lord, I don't want to talk to them. God, man, I just don't want to talk to them. And the Lord said, you said, you'll do whatever I want. Okay, Lord, I'll go talk to them. And you know, sometimes the people that you think that would reject the Word of God is usually the ones that want to hear it. And the ones that you think, oh, man, they're going to take the Bible, they're going to take the Word of God, they're the ones that tell you, take a hike. 2020, you know what that is? I thought about, we have a theme. Everybody's got the same idea. 2020 vision. 2020 vision. Having a look in your eyes that you can see serving God is the right thing to do. Amen. Finishing your course. However long that is, we don't know. I don't know how much longer I got. You don't know how much longer you got. But wouldn't it be great to finish your course serving God? The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. If you don't have a vision for your life, say, Lord, I want to raise my children for you. I'm going to tell you this, it works. It works. Brother Heath and his wife, Rhonda, was in here the other night, and the whole family got up. They're all in church. The whole family got up, and grandkids too, got up and sang. What a blessing. And every one of them said, I'm not even worthy to be up here. None of us are. None of us are worthy to serve God. But man, he sure gives us opportunity, doesn't he? All right, let's stand with our be dismissed. Father, Lord, love you this morning. I pray God.